Romans chapter 8, and we're going to get ourselves underway here. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Now let's come to verse 12. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, looking at this, we went over most of this, these things before, up until verses 14 and 15 here. And we understand that what Paul is talking about in verses 12 and 13, he's not talking about living physically and dying physically. He's talking about a functional life or functional death. And the means of that is doing what Romans 8:14 says. It explains to us about how we ought to be, what means we ought to be led by. And the means is the Spirit of God. And that's how the sons of God are to be led by their Father. They're to be led by the Father's doctrine. And we're going to see in verse 15 how Paul says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And when you're looking at the spirit of bondage, spirit of bondage is what Israel dealt with. There was a fear motivation there. When you're looking at the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that's something that the saint wants. He wants to be educated by the Father. He wants to properly be educated, to get his education underway. And his reasons to be educated, his reasons to want to go to church or to want to hear God's word should not have to do with some things like, well, I just like the way the pastor conducts himself, or they have a big church, or he's on TV, or I like his message. It caters to me. It caters to my lusts. And when you see that verse over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when it talks about for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, they shall turn their ears away from the truth and be turned of the fables. When you see that, when you see those verses there, it's explaining to you that many, and this is what's going to bring the dispensation of grace to a close. This is what's going to bring the rapture. That's why I said for the time will come. It's going to bring the rapture to a close because many today do not want to be educated based upon the way the Father has instituted that we be edified. Many want to be educated based upon their own lusts. That's why it says, for after their lust, they should heap to themselves teachers, have an itching ears, turn their ears from the truth and return to the fables. Because that's how many want to be edified. That's the classroom that they want to attend, one that caters and centers around them, instead of them being a son to the Father and a daughter to the Father, to be educated based upon his will, not theirs, but his will, and they will cry out a Father saying that I want this. And also, when the Lord Jesus Christ over in Mark chapter 14, when he cried, Abba, Father, let's come over there. Come over to Mark chapter 14. Let's take a look at that. Mark chapter 14, and let's get verse 35. Matter of fact, come get verse 32. Mark 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Okay, now you see what the Lord is saying here. The Lord is saying that his, in verse 34, that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And his soul being sorrowful wasn't the idea that he was just going to die. That wasn't, he understood that. He told the apostles that. He wasn't afraid when he told them that the Son of Man must also suffer and die and things like that. His sorrowfulness was now he was going to be what the Lord called him to be. See, it wasn't that he was going to begin his adoption at this time, like we're told. We're told that we cry, Abba, Father, when we're beginning our adoption in sufferings and the bad doctrine of this world. And we're going to go over that in a little bit here. But he's crying, Abba, Father, because at this time he's getting ready to be what his title called him to be, the Redeemer. Called him to be the one that's going to take on the sins of the world, where he's going to be, the Father's going to look upon him with the sins that he bears, bared for us. And that separation there, that's the sorrowfulness that he wanted to have taken away from him when he looked at that cup, that ministry, what that entails, when he looked at that. And you see what took place here. Now come back to Romans chapter 8 again, and we're going to look at this real quick, and then we're going to go over to Galatians chapter 4. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 14 again. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, as you've seen earlier in Mark 14, Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and he was led by by the Word of God, by the Spirit there. And we're going to see later on in Isaiah where it talks about he was awakened morning by morning and educated by the Father, and how that son got the doctrine that he needed to strengthen him, to educate him in his Father's will and things of that nature. And see, we got to understand something. You're looking at this adoption in this stage here that Paul is beseeching us, that he's beseeching us, like he says here, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. And see, our sanctification, it already got itself underway in Romans 6 and 7. And see, even though this is also a sanctification issue, this is an issue where many will want to throw in the towel. When you get to this point here, many are going to want to not continue this education, because this education deals with the sufferings of this present time. And again, many are going to want to throw in the towel, and the sad thing is many often do. See, this part of your sanctification, it educates the saint in the fact that if he wants to be all that his Father calls him to be, that he must also be a joint heir with Christ when it comes with sufferings of this present time. See, not only is he given the corrective doctrine of why the whole creation has to go through the sufferings of this present time, but he is also given to understand that it will be an ungodly and a childish thing to want to be delivered from those sufferings. And I want to say that again. The saint is given the doctrine about why this whole creation has to go through the sufferings of its present time, whether it's the saved or the unsaved. We all are under the bondage of corruption. We all have to go through the sufferings of this present time, which consists of sickness, death, crime, just sufferings based upon our own stupidity and things of that nature. But he's also given to understand that it would be ungodly and a childish thing if we were asking to be delivered from these sufferings. Because, see, an adult son cannot properly learn how to fully understand God and his word as being the God of all comfort. Just like 2 Corinthians says, in order to know God as the God of all comfort, you have to go through the sufferings of this present time. And that's part of being an adult son. Now you have to think about that. If you have your children and you raise your children up with your thinking, and you explain to them what this world has to offer, and you give them your thinking, when you tell them how the streets are out there as far as how it's a danger unto them, you explain to them about having a good career, about them going to school, your way of living. And then when this child gets to be 18, 20 years old, they keep coming back to you, asking you to take these problems away from them. After they just went through the same thing you told them that they shouldn't go through. And had they made a proper decision-making, they would not have to go through that. And see, that's why, and it's another thing, when you're looking at this world's type of sanctification and Christian living, it's like, you know, again, they have their own way of counseling. And you have, for instance, I'm going to give you, for instance, marriage counseling, for instance. You have many people that go to, say, a priest, for instance, for marriage counseling. And you think about it, this guy's not even married, nor does he even have the desire to be married. And how would you go to a priest for counseling, marriage counseling? So what Paul does is, Paul gives us the doctrine, and he explains to us based upon what he went through, his experience. And he gives us that in the doctrine, whether it's good or whether it's bad. He tells us the ways, how we ought to follow things, and also he tells us our reward. He also tells us to follow me as I follow Christ. And he says, you have us for an example. But, you know, the most fascinating aspect of all this sonship education is noticing that our adoption is mentioned here in Romans chapter 8. And when it's mentioned here in Romans chapter 8, it's also mentioned in Galatians chapter 4. And both times we're told about an heirship, being heirs. And notice there's two different types of education being administered here. Romans chapter 8, that explains on how we ought to cry out a father when we want to be educated in the doctrine of sufferings of this present time. And then later on in the chapter, you start to see Satan's attack against us. And God wants us to stay in the fight. He tells us that we should be persuaded that he's for us. We should be more than a conqueror in all these sufferings and things. And he gives you a whole list of things that shouldn't throw you off track. But as an educated son, adult son and daughter in Christ, you ought to be, by this time you should be fully educated, because Satan is going to ramp up his attack on you for education there, where you probably want to throw in the towel. Now let's come into Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, let's look at verse 1. Galatians 4, let's look at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now you see chapter 4 here, Galatians. We see the saint being asked to cry Abba Father and stay the course concerning the bad doctrine of this world. And we're going to see that a little bit when we read the next couple of verses here. But it's going to be talking about the bad doctrine of this world and the contrary teaching of this world that will hinder the son and daughter's growth from taking place. And see, again, this is Satan's attempt to keep you from being conformed to the image of his son. And when you're looking at Galatians 1 here, and when Paul talks about the child and the servant, and he talks about the tutors and governors and things of that nature, what I'm going to do next week, we're going to go over that whole issue of the tutors and governor. We're going to go over the whole issue of the child aspect, because today we cannot fall victim to ones that want to place you under a tutor and governor also. And also we also have to make sure and understand that it's time that we ought not to depend on a pastor or depend on this world to be our tutor and governor. Because we can depend, you know, when you hear someone say, pray for me. When someone wants someone to take your sanctified life and put it into practice, when it's up to you as the son or daughter in Christ to be the one to cry Abba Father to put it into practice, you'd be no more than a child or a servant. And not the servant in the way that God will call us to be in serving him and bringing forth fruit, but you'd be serving the tutor and the governor. And this is not what God would have for his saints in Christ to be unto him. That's why he says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Verse 8, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days, months, and times, and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. You notice the how be it then in verse 8? And Paul says, how be it then? Well, Paul is saying that if you're an adopted son who began in the Spirit, like he said in Chapter 3, that they've begun in the Spirit, now they're made perfect by the flesh. But he's saying, if you're an adopted son who was begun in the Spirit, why aren't you acting like it? So these saints weren't following the education that Paul set forth for them to follow. They were being fools because they began in the Spirit, and Paul expected them to keep up that same doctrine of teaching. But see, what they were doing, they were following this world system of serving and worshiping God. They thought they were serving and worshiping God by doing what they were doing. But in turn, they were serving and worshiping the wrong God. They were serving and worshiping Satan, even though they can get these same things out of God's word. But because it wasn't pertaining to them, they weren't rightly dividing the word of truth. They weren't following God's plan and his will for them, they were following Satan's will. Now let's take a look at the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's education. And we're going to take a look at that there, because what we have to do is understand that, you know, when Jesus Christ himself, again, when he cried out a father, he wasn't beginning his sonship education at that time. Now, we're going to look at the time when he did start to begin that in being all what God called him to be. And we're going to see that he also faced something similar to what we go through. And when you see, it's going to be in a similar sense, because we also are called to be a joint heir with Christ in suffering, in the temptations, and we're told about the temptations also. temptations of this world that we have to watch thereon to, that we not fall victim to that, when we're told about that. But this is all about decision-making. It's about wise decision-making as a son. And we're told and we're warned by our apostle how we ought to walk. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 2. Come to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, let's go to verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew, well, to give you a backdrop here, you're going to see that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was traveling with his mother and father, and they went up to Jerusalem. They ended up finding out when they went back home, they ended up finding out that he wasn't with the caravan. And then they went to look for him. But we'll pick it up here in verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. Now, there's a lot contained here. And when you see in this beginning in verse 40, it talks about how the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, in his spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, when you look at, come down to verse 46, and it says, and it came to pass, that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Okay, now you see he's sitting down with the ones who were the more educated Pharisees. And it says, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now verse 47 says, and all them that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Well, here it says in verse 46 that he was asking them questions. They were the ones to be given answers. Verse 47 says they were astonished at his answers because it in turn turned around where they start asking him questions and hearing him. They were hearing him and asking him questions. And he was explaining to them his understanding based upon the wisdom that his father gave him and his answers to their questions. And again, notice what he says here in verse 49. How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? See, at this time, Jesus was 12 years old. He was ready to begin his education. He was ready to be loosed from the tutoring governor. He was ready to be given to where his father is educating him, where his father is educating him in all his wisdom. And this is what we're going to see here. Now, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 50? Isaiah chapter 50. And we're going to look at verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. And this is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here explaining when he's getting ready to go to the cross here. When he's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's explaining the wisdom that was given unto him by the Father. And he's explaining other things and aspects of him going and being what God called him to be as the Redeemer and taking on the sins of the world. And let's look at verse 4 here. The Lord hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in a season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as a learned. The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who was mine adversary? Let him come near to me. And this is what we see here. What I'm after here is verse four here. And in verse 4 says, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as to learn it. So what the Lord did, he taught Jesus Christ before he even ate anything. And that's the same thing we saw with Adam and Eve. With Adam and Eve, God was coming in the cool of the day to give them education, but Satan struck first. He struck first and he presented the fruit onto them from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When he knew that this was a time before they ate, they were hungry. But you see what God did. He wakeneth morning by morning, wakeneth mine ear to hear as a learned. And the Lord hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. But again, as I said earlier, when you're entering into this doctrine, here in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, on most will throw in the towel. Most will not want to continue on with this education. Most will want to turn back. Because you're going to get to a point, let's come to Romans chapter 8 again. We're going to go over some of that doctrine there. You're going to get to a point where you're going to not want to be persuaded that God is for you. You're going to not want to be more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. And you're going to want to turn away back, like the Lord said there, and be rebellious to being educated. But many and most, they fall victim, and they follow this world's way of edifying and sanctification there. Again, let's go back to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, the first thing that the Son has to understand, he has to first understand his own value for being edified. He has to understand that he has a value himself and getting educated properly by the Father. Then once that saint grows and gets more mature, by the time he gets to Romans chapter 12, he's going to now want the betterment and the growth of other members. He's going to want to look at that other saint as a vital part of the body of Christ, as a member just like he is. And we have to understand something. Every one of us in Christ also has the same edification process that has to be met. But we also want to root for them that they also be edified, and that they have succession, and they excel in their edification. And that's how godly love is produced. Whereas we can want to value and esteem others more than ourselves in that sense. And that's the way God intends for an adult son to respond to others' faith in Christ. And we have to understand it's not about our will, but it's about God's will and about the betterment of the body. And in doing this, the one thing we have to understand to make all this work, and as we see here, when it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. And the Spirit itself is God's Word that bears witness with your spirit. Meaning, when we take a look at where we gauge ourselves on the scale of our education, we can gauge ourselves by God's Word. We know, just based upon what God's Word says, whether we're a simple son, whether we're a First Corinthians son, whether we're a Galatians saint, or whether we're an Ephesians saint, and things like that. That's how that Word bears witness with your spirit, that we are the children of God. And also it says, if you suffer with him, that you may also be also glorified together. See, and that glorifying is when you bring forth fruit unto God because you are now understanding how to suffer with him in the things you go through. That's also, that's for Christ's benefit. Christ is already glorifying. He's already being glorified, and we glorify with him, and we produce that glorification, and that's what we went over in Romans chapter 6. We went over that in the beginning doctrines of Romans chapter 6 about the issue about that likeness that we have with him. And also being raised up with him, we're also going to glory with him. We're going to reign with him. And that's part of that glory there. But, you know, the main thing to make this successful is you have to have the Father's heart in this. And the key to the sonship establishment is not only having the wisdom in front of you, the Bible, but also having the Father's heart in all of this. And that's where the understanding comes in at. When you take the doctrine and you apply it to your wisdom, now you gain the understanding. And we're going to look at that in the Proverbs next week there. But that's how you gain the understanding. You gain that understanding. And also, once you gain that understanding, that produces a mind like the Father's. It would get to the point where when you get to heavenly places, we're told when we get to heavenly places, we're going to be part of the principalities, powers, mights, thrones, and dominions. You're going to fill one of those positions. You're going to be judging angels. Heaven's business is going to be done from the earth, and that's where the angels are going to be ascending and descending. And you're going to be judging the affairs. You're going to be making decisions. And when you're going to be making decisions in heavenly places, it's going to get to the point where the angels, they're not going to be able to tell the difference between you and your Father's decision making. They're going to understand that your decision making is going to be like Father, like Son. And that's the way it's intended to be here on this earth. And as we've seen in Galatians chapter 4, God didn't just save us just so we can go to heaven. He saved us to reign with him, reign with Christ, and to be glorified together with him, and to bring forth fruit. And that's not only just on the earth here, but that's to be done in heavenly places. And it will be done in heavenly places. But this is where the rubber meets the road here, where you start to really get to the point where you're asked to grow up. where you're asked, you're beseeched, not only just to be a justified saint, like Romans 3:21-5 explained, and not just to be a son that has a sanctification where you're buried together with him, and you are identified with him. There's more to it than that. You're asked to grow up here at this point. You're asked to, you're going to be told here that you have some sufferings, that there's some sufferings here that you're going to have to go through. And it's explaining to you that not only you're going to have to go through it, but the unsaved are going to have to go through it. And you explain the doctrine here. You explain what your motivation is. Your motivation here is, when you look here at verse, let's come down to verse in your chapter 8 here. Let's come down to verse 27 here. Verse 27, Romans 8, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I'm going to stop there. Again, he searches the hearts. That's where, like I said earlier, we have to have our Father's heart in this, like David. David was a man after God's own heart. Solomon. Solomon wanted to be a man after God's own wisdom, having the mind. And we're told to have the mind of Christ, and have our the table of our hearts be redone, so to speak, where we understand what God loves, and not only what he loves, but what he abhors, what he hates. We have to understand that also. Now, again, verse 26, it says, verse 27 says, but he maketh intercession for the saints. And who's the he? The Spirit maketh intercession. God's word makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And how that works is, Hebrews tells you about the word of God is quick and powerful, how it divides asunder the soul and the spirit. It's the word of God steps in, and the will of God shows how you ought to be praying, what your prayers ought to be based upon. You know, your prayers should not ought to be based upon your will and your stakes, but according to the will of God. Now, verse 28 here, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called. Now, that's number one. This is our motivation here. To them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, that's two, he also did predestinate, that's three, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. And whom he called, them also he justified, that's four. And whom he justified, them also he glorified. Those five things right there is your motivation to why you ought to want to understand what verse 31 says. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's a saying you ought to have. Just by looking at from verse 28 to verse 30, all those mercies, all those that goodness that God has given unto you, how can you not think that he's not for you? How could you think he's not for you when you're seeing all these things he did? And verse 32 sums that up. It says, he that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Notice it says, how shall he not with him? And there's that with him concept there. The same thing we saw in Romans chapter 6. That identification we now have. When God sees us, he sees his son. What his son has, we have. That's that identification. That's part of being that redeemer. Not just in justification, but in sanctification also. And again, these are doctrines that we have to come to understand. And at this point, Satan wants you to throw in the towel. He doesn't want you to be what God called you to be, because now you're a threat unto him. And not only are you a threat, he wants to speak reproachfully of you. He's not able to do that also. He's not able to meet his objectives. And coming down, let's come down to verse 36 here. Matter of fact, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I'm going to stop there. Verse 36, when it says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, that's not talking about a physical killing. How could someone be killed all day? It's talking about the persecution. It's talking about that persecution that son is going to be going through, that the salvation that son needs from being persecuted. It says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor death shall be able to separate us, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, well, actually, I missed the verse there. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, when you look at this, when it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, notice it doesn't say, nay, in delivering us from all these things, we are more than conquerors. It doesn't say that. It says, nay, in all these things. That means you're going to have to go through these things. But when you go through these things, you're to be more, not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Now, you see how this adoption ties into the sufferings? This adoption that Paul wants us to understand, he's telling you, grow up. God wants you to be an adult son concerning the sufferings of this present time. This is how he wants you to think. This is how you can be conformed to the image of his son. This type of thinking. And this all concerns our crying, Abba Father, and wanting to be educated according to something that we all are going to face anyway. You're going to face the sufferings of this present time, regardless whether you want to or not. But you're given here the doctrine to help you, to be, so God can show you, give you his comfort, and where you can be more than a conqueror and be persuaded. Now let's come back to Galatians chapter 4, and let's look at that different type of adoption, that different type of crying Abba Father concerning you being an adult son in Christ and daughter in Christ. Let's look at verse 1 again. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods? But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days, months, and times, and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I beseech you, brethren, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. But I'm going to stop there, because what Paul is saying here, Paul is telling them about their adoption and telling them, look, you're not a child anymore. You're not under the tutor and governor education anymore. You're beseeched to grow up. You're beseeched as sons and daughters in Christ to act like God the Father requests that you, beseeching that you ought to act. But notice, this has nothing to do with the sufferings of this present time. This is talking about being victimized by what, by this ungodly world and their doctrine of teaching, their brand of how to live a sanctified life, the Christian way of living. You know, and we see that all the time. Everyone writes a bestseller book every now and then about the keys to Christian life, or the you see the Daily Bread books, and you see the a guy wrote a book a long time ago called I forgot the name of it, but it's similar to the Something Life or whatever it's called. It was sold over millions and millions of copies. And this is something that people do. And once you do that, you have to buy another book. And if that book worked, why would you have to buy another book? And this is something that, that we see, but these saints here were also being affected. These saints in Galatia were also being affected by ones coming in saying, hey, that's not the way you serve God. That's not the way you worship God. This is how we've been doing this for years. This is how you worship and serve God. If you're justified, you guys got to be circumcised. You guys have to observe the law of Moses. What are you doing? You're not observing months and times and years. You're not observing the Sabbath days and the feast days and all this other stuff. You're not doing all that stuff. And you guys are fools. Now, notice Paul calls them fools. Even Paul said over in First Corinthians there about the issue of we are fools for Christ's sake. And we're the filth of the earth, we're the offspring of the earth, and things of that nature. But again, Paul is explaining, saying, wait a minute, you guys aren't acting like God, who God called you to be. You've received that adoption. And he explains that over here in verse 6. He says, because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And notice, that spirit that of his son into that word, that doctrine, is beseeching them to want to be educated. That's why he says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. In verse 7 here. But they weren't acting like that. And then an heir of God through Christ. Paul couldn't understand how they could be so foolish. And this is what we need to understand also, that our education consists of us wanting to be educated, us wanting to properly be educated. Because we've got to understand, this world also teaches a father-to-son relationship. They also teach you that you have to follow someone. And again, that you want to be educated by this man or woman, teacher, because of the wrong reasons, because they have a godly appearance, because their message caters to what your outward man wants and needs. Whether it's healing, whether it's self-esteem issue, whether it's something other than health, wealth, relationship, whatever the issue is, those are all wrong reasons to be educated by your father. That's what the whole issue of the adoption of sons is all about. It's about not allowing this world to educate you, but you stay in the course. You're following God's word, following his will. Rightly divided, pertaining to you, and having that wisdom, the proper wisdom, being educated properly, where you can get understanding. Because you got to understand something. If you start your child off into school, and he's 6 years old or she's 6 years old, and you say, you're supposed to start him off in the kindergarten and in first grade and things of that nature, but you say, you know what I'm going to do is, I feel my child is smarter than these other kids. I'm going to start him off in the fourth or fifth grade. Now, what's going to happen is he's going to miss some things. He's not going to be properly educated because he's following the wrong course. He's not following the proper doctrines. He's having things thrown at him all at once. Pretty soon he's going to want to throw in a towel. Pretty soon he's going to want to be educated. He's not going to know who or how to be properly educated. He's just going to follow some other type of system of ways to haphazardly understand the proper doctrine. And that's what we see today. People just reaching for the will of God or understanding of God, different ways, whether it's internet, whether it's they just ask someone or they put into Google, I just moved to the so-and-so area. What's a good church? You know, or what they see on TV. But again, you have to be properly educated with the understanding of God the way he designed it. He designed it to be, you to be educated, Romans chapter 6, 7, 8, and so on. Because the book of Romans is a foundational epistle, whereas you're to be taught and learned and educated properly. And with that, let's look at Romans 16, Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, we're going to see that there. Romans 16, I got to get there myself first. Let's look at verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Now we see this here. You see, Paul is saying here that you're supposed to mark people that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Paul is talking about what you just learned, everything from Romans chapter 1 all the way to this point. He's not talking about things you learned earlier or whatever the situation. He's talking about what you just learned. And many people teach contrary to the sanctifying things that are taught, the justified doctrine that's taught, and the edifying doctrine that's taught there. They teach their own brand of that. And he explains that you mark them and avoid them. And most of the church does not teach the foundational doctrines that's found here in Romans chapter 8. But again, that's these are things we're going to go over. And next week we're going to look at the issue of, we're going to go to Galatians and look at that issue about the child and about the tutor and governor situation, because that's a very important issue here to understand, because we need to understand how God will beseech us to grow up onto him, how he beseeches to grow up and be all that he called us to be in Christ, not as a child, but as an adult son. And we're going to see about all that issue there and how that pertains to us in this dispensation of Gentile grace. Now I'm going to open things up for the Q&A. And if you have any question or comment, please feel free to press star 61. Star 61 will get you into the queue, and I'll answer any question or comments you might have, whether it's concerning this or anything else. So please feel free to press star 61, and we'll get those questions answered for you there. And again, going over this doctrine here is so essential. I can't say it enough, but it's something that God would have you to fully understand. He'd have you to come to understand this, because you being a son and daughter in Christ, you have to understand you are his means for extending his holiness. And that's how we're taught to do in this day and time as sanctified saints in Christ. Now I'm going to go to the first caller. Sister Janice, you're on the line.
Yes, praise the Lord, Pastor Ron.
How you doing, Sister Janice? How you been?
I'm blessing you.
Very well, very well. Thank you.
I'm just, you know, enjoying your teaching and everything, and Pastor Timothy teaching and Pastor Reed and everything. And I really am growing in grace, and I thank the Lord for that. And say by grace, lest any man shall boast. And I thank the Lord for the word of God that you're teaching, because we need that, and it's helping me a lot to realize that my spiritual walk is more important than my natural man who walk in my flesh. It's not important as much as my spiritual walk is.
Right. Well, I thank you very much for that. And you are exactly right about that, because the inner man is the one that God can use, and that's the one that he does use. That's the one he looks upon as having the importance placed upon, the value placed upon it, the inner man, because that's the one that we're gonna live eternity with. This inner man, the outer man is gonna perish in no time, and we're only gonna be in this outer man for but a minute. And this inner man is the one that's going to be bringing forth fruit. We're going to be judging angels. We're going to be fulfilling these positions in heavenly places. We're going to go to work with him as sons and daughters in Christ in heavenly places. So why wouldn't we want to work with him and be a joint heir with Christ in this dispensation in life that we're living now? It's something that we should want. And I appreciate your call. I appreciate your question. And you're listening in. I do appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How are you doing, Pastor Ron? This is Teresa. How are you doing?
Oh, Sister Teresa. How are you doing there? Good. I'm good.
Oh, excellent message. Excellent message. Even Christ himself had to grow up. I mean, that's the way Paul would have for us to do it. As a God, Jesus obeyed his son to be a grown-up. And he had to humble himself to be grown up also, like he would want us to be grown up sons and daughters to him.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, to be grown up. So that's what we have to do, to be grown up sonship.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's some parts that people don't want to do. Some people want to be a Toys R Us kid. They don't want to never grow up, you know. And we're taught that. But that's what we ought to do, you know. We've been told that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, when it says, verse 15, it says, but speaking truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It talks about the body there, and we all want to be edified. And that building up, that growing up, that edify, that's what the word edify means. You know, a building is called an edifice, and we ought to want to be built upon and God to place more upon the body, and we to grow as one. And this is good when we all can come together in love and be edified. Again, you both coming with views upon this and building upon what I'm teaching. And that's the way it's designed to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. And 8:25, where it says, likewise, the Spirit help us our infirmities, so we know not what to pray for. You know that He help us to pray. You know, the Spirit, God's Spirit. You know, because we know not what to pray for.
Right. The natural man doesn't. Right.
26. Yes. And He searches our heart. Our heart. That's what He searches.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
well,
and your messages and everything. But I did lose my phone. Those are how people are thing back through my phone. I lost it, and I got another one, the thing for the trip, for the conference, that you see my phone with your man.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it, too. I had to get another phone. But I still got the same, you know, send that back to me so I can give it to my rider. I'm sorry about that, because I already sent it to me, but I lost my phone. I
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you also. Thank you very much there, Sister Teresa.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. I really am being edified by your teaching of the son, of being grown up strength.
Thank you. I really
do want to grow up and go back to
all the business. That's what it's all about. Thank you, Pastor Ron Jones.
Appreciate you. All right, thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah, Star 6 wanted to get you into the queue. And, again, I do appreciate everyone for listening in and appreciate it, all the comments and questions. And next week, again, we're going to go over the issue of the son and the adoption there and things of that nature and the tutoring governor situation here. And then after that, we're going to move on to verse 15 and 16 after we deal with that there. And because we're dealing with the issue of that they are the sons of God. Okay, with that, I'm going to close. And I do appreciate everyone for listening in.